This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
We want to welcome you to another week of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. Well, this is not just an important week. This is an important season. We're coming up on our fourth birthday on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.
It's the fourth anniversary of this program and of our network.
Yep. And we're ratcheting on up toward episode 200. We're not quite there yet, but we will be very shortly. And we want to say congratulations to all of the podcasters on our network. You can come out to ultimateradioshow.com if you want to see the whole list of them. But we've got a little gift. We got a celebration we'd like to send to you.
Yes. If you go to raisingrealmen.com /podcast freebie, then you can get there our homeschooling high school resource set. And it's several downloads, including our editable transcript.
Okay.
And it's a really good resource. So that's all free to you.
Okay.
Just head over to raisingrealmen.com/podcast freebie.
Okay.
And you can get that. And I think you'll like it. It has homeschooling high school and the editable transcript and the college resource decision packet and several good resources there.
Boy, that does sound good. Okay, so we'll give you that link again at the end of the program, but we just wanted to mention it's out there and say congratulations to our fellow podcasters. It's been a good run, and we're glad to be here. Well, I tell you what, we've been thinking some recently about some basic principles, and one of them is a principle from the Reformation called Soli Deo Gloria. That's a Latin term. It means for the glory of God alone. But basically, it's keyed on 1 Corinthians 10:31, that whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, that's a very good, basic, solid principle of life. You know, as believers, everything we do should go through that filter. Is it going to glorify God, or is it going to detract from my testimony? Is it going to be a bad example of those who believe? Yeah, that should be, you know, one of those checks that we run through our head all the time. And, you know, I think sometimes we overlook that. Sometimes we come into things and say, well, this is just part of my everyday life. This isn't part of, this isn't a religious activity. This is not something that I would think has a theological implication. But we want to talk about something that does today.
We're going to talk about relationships.
And, you know, and that's ultimately theological. First, our relationship with God, you know, our understanding of who we are as people, but then...
But our relationship to each other says a lot about who we are as Christians.
And there's so much that talks about relationships between parents and children, between a citizen and his government, between a man and a woman, you know, brethren within the church, and a lot of these things overlap. When, well, you know, one of the things, when you talk about relationships, a lot of times, you know, we relationship with a big R, you know, that's, oh, they're in a relationship. And I think we both experienced a lot of the nonsense that goes on when when everybody's running around telling 12-year-olds, oh, you need to have a girlfriend, you know, and that kind of stuff. And so,
wrong.
So no, you don't. I'm sorry. That's just too early. And so, you know, we took a different tack with our kids. And a lot of people we know in the homeschooling community have really taken a very different tack to say, look, we're not going to encourage early dating. We're not going to encourage. We're going to take a more structured, intentional model.
We're going to just encourage our kids to wait until they're close to being able to marry before they pursue a mate. And so, you know, adults. That doesn't mean they have to be 25 or 30 or 35.
No,
but,
no.
You know, not 15 either.
Right. And we looked at that and thought, oh, that will save so much of the drama. I just remember all the stupid waste of energy and emotional drain and everything else of being a frustrated Romeo at the age of 14 and that kind of thing. And I'm thankful that as a culture, we're steering our kids away from that. And I'm thinking that surely there's going to be some fruit from this, you know, that we see that when you come at this with an adult mindset, you've got more maturity there. You've got more growth as a Christian. You've got, well, of course, you got the ability to do something about it. You know, it's kind of tough to go out and get engaged, to be married when you don't have your driver's license yet. But to say, okay, you know, I think we'll be able to avoid so much of the nonsense, except we're hearing stories that people are not.
Well, yeah, we're hearing situations with, you know, people dating in their 20s that remind me of middle school.
Yeah.
You know,
and you think, what? Like, well, why don't you people grow up?
Breaking up is one of those issues.
Okay.
You know, breaking up is one of those issues because I think for several reasons. I think that sometimes people think that you're not ever going to break up. If you just wait until you're an adult to start dating or courting or whatever you call it, finding a mate,
right?
Then surely there'll only be one relationship and that'll be it and you won't ever have to worry about breaking up. But that's not necessarily or even commonly true.
Or desirably true, I would think, you know, because you know, a lot of this thing, I mean, what you just mentioned something which I think is a trap. I mean, that's an absolute spiraling hole of a trap. The idea that you are going to look out there in the catalog of people in Christ's church and you're going to pick out the one, and that one will either come and court you, young lady, or you, young man, will take your suit to that young lady, and everything will be exactly, you know, according to plan, the first time out and the only time out.
Well, how are you going to know that they're the one if you don't ever have a chance to get to know them?
Yeah, but if you get to know them and you find out maybe they're not the one, then what? Well, that's when you have to decide, okay, this relationship is not going to go any further. There's going to be one form or another.
And that's way better than marrying someone who isn't right.
I think that is an important thing because we don't have the kind of support nets that earlier generations did, you know, where everybody lived on the same piece of land with mom and dad and grandma and grandpa and the aunts and uncles are just down the road and all. And there's a lot of support there for a young couple that's struggling. But nowadays that's not, I mean, families aren't as big. People move around a lot. It's a very mobile society. And so it kind of raises the stakes that you do want to be really sure that you're marrying a person that you've got a lot in common with, that you've got shared convictions, that temperamentally you're going to be able to work together. Because it's challenging always. It's always a challenge.
Marriage is always challenging.
And so you do need to have a high standard. And then sometimes you get out there and say, hey, this is a nice guy. This is a really nice girl. They're easy to look at, and they're pleasant to be friends with, but I just can't see living with them. Or there's some problem there that I didn't realize until I got to know them better. Now what?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Come back to that first thing we talked about.
Sometimes breaking up is good.
Sometimes it is necessary. We've got stories. Everybody can, if you think about it, you've got stories of people that, wow, they should not have proceeded with that. They should not have gotten married because everybody around them could see that they weren't suited or that there was some moral problem even.
Well, so let's talk about how do you act like a Christian and end a relationship in a way that is glorifying to God.
Okay.
Because, you know, we've seen a bunch of young people in our acquaintance go through the end of a relationship breaking up in the past year or two. And most of them, it has not been handled well.
Well, most of them, some of them we were almost like observers, you know, but others we just heard about later on, and you think, that sounds like middle school playground romance and not like two adults who have had a meeting of the minds and come to a conclusion together.
Well, I think part of that is lack of experience, you know, because in our generation, most everybody had some kind of relationship and gone through some kind of breakup or being treated poorly by the opposite sex by the time they were in a serious relationship, and they knew how not to act like a jerk.
Well,
now, I'm not advising that our kids get involved in romances so they learn how not to act like a jerk.
No.
But maybe we need to teach them how not to act like a jerk.
That's the thing. There's, we learn the hard way Now, can we, excuse me, I gotta clear my throat here. Yeah, we learned some of these lessons the hard way. And so how can we transmit what we've learned to our children in such a way that they don't have to go through all the grief themselves?
And see, the grief is much worse when someone acts like a jerk when and you're in your 20s or 30s, because you've got so much more invested.
Well, and that's literally, I mean, right down to and including a ring. But I mean, even before it gets to that level of seriousness, I think, you know, when you're 14 and you've got a girlfriend and you're 14, you're not really thinking long term. You're just thinking like, wow, this is cool.
Somebody likes me
and I feel happy, you know, and that's part of that puppy love thing. But it's but you know, when you're in your 20s and you're thinking, hey, I am ready to settle down. I want to be married. I want to start raising a family. And I am seriously looking, and I think, you know, hey, I think that this could be the person that I want to marry. Then, yeah, you've already made an investment even to be thinking that. And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. I think you do need to be moving right in that direction. But when it's necessary for something to end and you've made that sort of investment in your thinking, in your time, sometimes in the money, then yeah, it is going to be a bit of a wrench. It's gonna have some pain and some grief. It's gonna be sad, even if it's a necessary thing. So what can you do to minimize the unnecessary grief? That's the thing. If you got to do something that's unpleasant, it's not going to be pleasant either way, but you can make it less awful.
Well, you can make it something you're not ashamed to look back on.
That is a good, that's a good thing to hold up as.
And pretty important. Exactly. Because as believers, we know we're going to see each other again.
Yeah, they're not totally going to be out of our lives because we're going to be together in heaven.
Right. And so we need to, if we have to end a relationship, we need to end it in such a way that you're not ashamed when you see them. Okay. That you didn't do anything wrong, that it was kind and compassionate, that it was done well, it was done right. You know, and ending a relationship is going to, you know, when you've got two people in their late teens or 20s and it's serious and you're, both of you have got to be thinking, I wonder if this is the one, it's going to be painful when it ends.
Okay.
Period. But the question is, can it be done like a Christian?
Okay. That's ultimately our standard. What will glorify God? What is consistent with the things that Scripture does tell us?
Right.
And so, you know, a couple of things come in. We talked about this in an earlier episode. There's a necessary step that when you have a problem with a brother or sister, I guess, if you've got a problem with another believer, you need to discuss these things, not just let them fester.
Communication is so important. If you're in a relationship, you need, and you have serious doubts, you need to talk about them.
Well,
you
it says,
need to bring it up.
You know, in Leviticus, Leviticus 19:18, it says that believers are not to carry a grudge against their brother. And I think one of the things that we see happening to young folks that are breaking up like this is that one of them will start to get doubts and they won't discuss them. They'll just sort of grumble over them inside. They'll treasure them up.
Right.
And they just kind of simmer there. And then finally one day something triggers them and they said, okay, that's it. I'm done. And the other person had no idea it was coming. Wasn't a clue. Oh,
that's so painful. And because the other person has let hurt and resentment build. Mm-hmm. And you know, even if the relationship ends in marriage, you don't want to get in a habit of holding grudges and letting relationship build and resentment build, because that is a recipe for disaster in a relationship.
Well, you know, Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, and this is something that we decided to do when we were newlyweds, and it was such a good decision. Paul says, be angry, but don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Well, you know, what that says is you're going to have conflict because guess what? There's two fallen individuals here. But when those conflicts happen, you need to engage them and to work them out and resolve them without delay. And right. And so that, you know, two young people that are in a relationship and hopefully walking toward matrimony as a possibility, that is one thing that they can look forward to and say, okay, if we do get married, we're going to have a lifetime of resolving our own conflicts.
We have to bring up things that bother us, because you know, if something drives you crazy and you keep your mouth shut about it, you may have to live with it for 40 or 50 years. You can't do that. You know, you've mm-hmm. got to work it out. You've got to either figure out how to overlook it yourself, or you've got to work it out with them. But communication is critical in marriage. And so you need to start when you're in that dating courtship period, communicating. But let's talk about that some more, because communication is so critical.
Yeah.
But we need to take a break and talk about schoolhouse teachers. You know what? This week, schoolhouse teachers came to the rescue with me.
How's that?
We're members of Schoolhouse Teachers, and I was working on chemistry with one of our children, and he was struggling with a concept, and I was just swamped. And y'all, I can do chemistry. You know, I majored in biology, minored in chemistry in college. Yeah. I can do chemistry, but I was swamped, and I thought, wait, wonder if Schoolhouse Teachers has a resource. And I went out there, found a chemistry course with videos, and I said, and even though we're doing the course on our own, I went out there and I said, look, it has all these listed. And look, it's even the same textbook that you're using. It's all coordinated. You can find the topic and watch the video and see this guy explain it. It was awesome.
Okay, so
save my bacon this week.
Okay, so schoolhouseteachers.com. It's got one monthly fee, and it's a low fee too, that gives you access to literally hundreds of courses, everything from, you know, basic kind of phonics, fun game type stuff for little kids, all the way up to high school level and beyond. You know, adults could benefit from some of this stuff. And so for that one low monthly fee, your entire family can take as many courses as they want from schoolhouseteachers.com. This is really cool. So we want to encourage you, come out and check them out, and thank them for being a sponsor of Making Biblical Family Life Practical.
Talking about communication, I wanted to talk about a couple more things with that. The basis of communication for a Christian is speak the truth in love.
Right. Two aspects of that. It's got to be true, but you can't just blow somebody up and say, well, I've spoken truth into that. No, but you speak the truth in a spirit of love to say, I value you as a person. I want our relationship to grow and prosper. I want everything to be done in a spirit of love and of unity and of kindness. And that means, you know what? One thing I've found that helps, you know, you can encourage young people this, but maybe try it in your own marriage, that if you let things bubble along and get worse and worse for a while before you bring them up, you have a tendency to start conversations by saying, we need to talk. And they're stressful. And sometimes it's better to say, hey, you know, that bothers me. Or I wish you wouldn't do that. Or can we do something different? Or, you know, to talk about things when it can be casual, when they're still small things.
Well, it's important. You know, it's important for so many reasons. Some of the relationships that we've heard of ending recently, the person breaking up didn't allow the other person to talk about it.
They'd already run through everything. They decided, okay, this isn't going anywhere, and I don't like where it's headed, and the rest of it. And so it's over. It's over, done, period. Red flags, stop.
And that's not right. It is not right to end a relationship that may have gone on for years with a 15-minute ultimatum.
Well, you know, one of the marks of our times that people say, oh, this is awful, is like breaking up with a text message.
Wow.
But you know, it doesn't have to get that bad to be just as awful. When somebody is fully invested in a relationship and feels like, man, this is heading to the church, we are going to be wed, I'm shopping for a ring, and the other person says, it's different.
It's hateful.
I mean, that's awful. And so don't do that.
It's hateful to say, I need to think, I'm not happy in the relationship, don't communicate with me. No, you know, that's not how you act like an adult. You work things out.
Yeah.
And it's worth working things out, because I've been talking to some of our friends, Hal, and many of our friends had actually broken up in their relationships before they came back together and got married. And so you got to be careful about burning bridges. You may change your mind and decide you want to marry this person after all.
Yeah, even if you're the one that broke up, the other person may go away and think hard and say, "Oh my word, I had no idea," and come back a changed person. They may be a different person.
So you just can't burn bridges. I remember us having a conflict when we were dating,
mm-hmm.
and I felt like you were taking me for granted. You know, I wanted to be romanced. I wanted you to take me out to dinner and, you know, do some romantic stuff. And I think that just didn't even occur to you.
I think because we had just been friends for a while before we became romantically involved. And I think I was so comfortable with our friendship that I wasn't thinking, oh, wait, I need to be on the hunt here. I need to go out and impress this young woman. Because I thought, well, we're already friends. We already like each other. I don't have to convince her to like me. And you were willing to go out there and to say, hey, this bothers me. I'm feeling, you know, this is what I'm feeling, and I'm worried that, you know, maybe this something's underlying it.
Well, like, you know, I felt like, yeah, we enjoyed each other's company tremendously, and we were good friends, but I wanted to be romanced. I wanted you to win my heart. I wanted flowers and dates and.
Yeah, it wasn't just about hanging out.
Yeah, I expressed that, and you not only made it right, but you have never faltered in that over 30 years of marriage.
Well, we see things differently, and that's part of that's one of the things that makes marriage such an adventure and such a good thing, is that I have a viewpoint, she has a viewpoint, we come at the same question with a little bit of different angle, and sometimes that angle is seriously insightful. It's something that, oh, wow, I never would have seen that.
Yeah.
And so it's good that we have a difference of opinion and we have different ways of looking at things, but it also means that if we get too used to thinking, well, she ought to know this. She should just know this and offer it. I shouldn't have to tell her. That's not romantic to have to tell her. No, if you want a relationship to work, you got to work.
Yeah, you got to work at it. You know, one trap I think people fall into, mm-hmm. because they feel like jerks, is trying to justify themselves. You know, if you're breaking up with somebody,
yeah.
it is very tempting to tell them everything that's wrong with them and wrong with the relationship so that you don't feel like such a jerk.
To sort of rationalize it in your own head and to take some of your own guilt off your shoulders. Yes,
and so, you know, I never thought this would work out. I never was as into you as you were into me. That's so hateful.
Well, a lot of times it's not even true, because you know what? You made a decision to get in this relationship and you let it go along, so there must have been something there. So don't come up now 6 months or a year or 2 years into the relationship and say, oh, it didn't mean anything anyway. That's not even true, let alone being unloving.
Or it got on my nerves every time you know what? You don't need to destroy what the two of you had together to say, I don't want to move forward.
It's okay to say, hey, you know, this was fun. I enjoyed it. I like you as a friend. I just don't think it's going to go any further. That's a very different thing than saying, it was never any good for me anyway. I was just making it up as I went along.
And it's really easy to do that because you want to justify it to yourself. You're trying to convince yourself of that lots of times. Mm. But it is cruel, because what it does is it makes the other person untrusting and doubting of future relationships because they thought everything was okay. And here you are telling them that it was all a sham.
That's devastating.
It's devastating, and it can make it very hard for them in future relationships.
And I think too, you need to be really considerate that the other person is invested in this. You know, that the other person has committed their time, they've committed, they've made decisions, and sometimes, you know, we know people who have like relocated, moved to different cities so that they could pursue a relationship, change jobs, or turn down jobs. You know, they made life-changing decisions because they believed this relationship was heading the direction that their life needed to go. And then, you know, and maybe even after all of that, you might decide, hey, for good and sufficient biblical reasons, we can't go any further. But at least be thankful for the investment they made and take it into consideration that, hey, you know what? I've just taken 2 years out of this guy's life. I need to at least be kind enough to tell him thank you. Yes. And not treat it like it was all a lark.
Yeah, and not treat it like it was all, you know, something that was a burden for you.
Right.
You know, that you just have been struggling through.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible gives us the watchword here.
Mm-hmm.
Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. And that really helps if you think about how would you feel if they were saying those things to you.
And I think, well, somebody said it's hard to see the picture when you're inside the frame.
Yeah.
That I think when you are in an emotional situation, you have a hard time realizing that there's other emotions involved besides your own.
Right.
And you may have a hard time imagining that.
But that's part of maturity, Hal. That's part of being an adult, is being able to see things from other people's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the difference between an adult. One of the major differences between an adult and a child. A child is self-centered. They can only see things from their perspective. An adult can understand someone else's perspective.
Well, now, you know, that does bring up something else here. Maybe this will be our last point, that, you know, if you are willing to come with a spirit of gentleness and kindness toward the other person, it's possible that the two of you could come to an agreement. That's not a matter of, you know, saying, hey, I'm done with this. It's been fun. Thank you very much, but goodbye. It may actually be a matter of, well, we got down and we talked together and we realized together that this wasn't going to be the fulfillment of our dreams like we thought.
How much better that would be for the two of you to agree not to take the relationship forward. And that way you could genuinely be friends instead of what we see so often, which is ghosting. You talk to someone every day, day after day, spend hours and hours, and then you break up and you never hear from them again.
Yeah. And like all the social media, you know, disappears, all of the interaction and contact disappears.
You know, that that's not, let's just be friends. That's, you're as if you didn't exist. That's not right.
And you know, we've got some friends. I can think of a few. I'm not going to get too elaborate, but I do know a couple of friends who were in relationships and got to a certain point and there was some conflict that came up and they realized, hey, we've got to resolve this. And they, you know, they mutually, on one hand, I can think of some that said, we didn't have as much in common as we thought. And they both agreed this needed to stop at this point. I know others who said, we need to put this on pause and sort some things out. Let's not progress any further until we resolve this question, either to say, oh, we understand each other now, or else, no, this is the end point. And they came at it with a whole different level of peace. And
yes.
I know one of these cases, they got it resolved and said, okay, let's move forward. And they're married and they've got kids and everything's great. You know, others I know looked at each other and said, hey, it was good working with you. I like being a colleague, but I found out that we're not that good as we're not good romancers.
Yeah.
You know, we're good coworkers, but I don't think we would be good as husband and wife. Do you? No, I don't think so either. And that brings it to a conclusion without it being an execution.
Right.
And I think that's
without
an important part.
Without destroying somebody.
And that's an important part of talking things through. And so, you know, I guess maybe to wrap this up, to say the two things. Do everything to God's glory. You know, consider, is this going to glorify God? Is this going to strengthen my relationship with Him as a Christian, the other person's relationship with God, our relationship as brethren, because that's not going to change, no matter if we're married or not. You know, are we going to glorify God in what happens in this conversation? And just to talk it through, speak the truth in love. And work things through.
Work on working it out. As soon as something bothers you, as soon as you have an issue, begin to talk about it. Because, you know, it may be able to be worked out. And you may find yourself 30 years later having a fantastic marriage like us.
Yep.
You know, work on working out. But even if you can't work it out, act like an adult.
Let's get past grade school.
Don't ghost people.
Yeah.
Don't refuse to talk about things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't try to justify yourself and act cruel. Act like an adult. Act like a Christian. Don't be a jerk.
Okay.
Well, that's a good ground rule. You'll be glad you did things the right way. Everyone will be glad. Yeah. And I know it's mostly parents listening to us, but we want to talk about this because you need to teach these things to your kids, especially if you're in a homeschool situation where they're not around a bunch of breaking up relationships all through middle school and high school. You need to teach them about this stuff.
That's right. And by teaching them these things, they don't have to learn it the hard way, or what's even worse when you look back, to be the cause of somebody else learning the hard way.
Because you were the jerk.
You don't want to be the jerk, okay? That's one of our...
Do not be this
one
person.
One of our ground rules. Don't be a jerk, okay? So we need to coach them on these things. And recognizing that, too, when you're talking to 20 or 20-somethings, you're not talking about giving them instructions. You are advising.
Advice.
You are coaching. You're saying, you know what? My long experience and my scars will tell you that this is not a good course of action. So don't do this, young person.
Well, Hal, we are out of time. Folks, please support our sponsor, schoolhouseteachers.com.
Right.
They were a blessing to me this week.
And please go out and celebrate the birthday of our network. And what was that link again?
It was raisingrealmen.com/podcast freebie.
Oh, anything
FREEBIE.
Yes, freebies are good, right? Okay, so we do appreciate you joining us. We thank you for your support and all sorts of channels. We hope that you'll join us out there in social media and on our newsletter and all the rest of that. But you had something to say?
I was going to say, keep this podcast going. Go to Patreon, patreon.com/Hal and Melanie. Mm-hmm. And keep the podcast going. Uh-huh. Thank you, folks. We will talk to you next week.
All right. So until next week, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Hal and Melanie or Facebook.com/Raising Real Men. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.